worship, and I've asked the worship team to stay up here this morning. I want to incorporate some different songs this morning. So I thought as we started out, we really need to define what worship is. Well, the dictionary defines worship as the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. The word worship has come to be used casually in many different ways. This morning, we've come to a worship service. This morning, the praise team has sung a worship set, or the list of songs that were going to be sung. We have a worship leader, and we have a worship team. And sometimes we even have a worship band. And in some churches, we even have a worship center. The use of these words and those combinations don't really give us a true meaning of what worship is, though. If we were to do the word association game this morning, and I said worship, and you said the first thing that came into your mind, I wonder what it might be. It would be interesting. For some people, it might be singing or shouting, raising your hands, prayer, or other demonstrative forms of praise. Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that worship may incorporate all of those things, but worship is not synonymous with those things. So worship is not the same as merely singing, shouting, raising our hands, praying, and doing other forms of what we might call adoration to God. Those things might indicate that worship is happening, but they are not essentially the essence of worship. To put it another way, you can do all of those things without worshiping. In fact, conversely, you can worship without doing any of those things. So I thought before we really define what worship is, maybe we should look at what worship is not. Worship is not an event. We call the morning service the worship service, but calling it that doesn't ensure that we will worship. You can attend a worship service without worshiping. Worship is not music. Churches may have a worship leader and a praise team. We may sing hymns of worship. We may sing praise and worship songs, but having music does not guarantee our worship. Let me give you an example. If I go out and buy a new Mustang or Corvette, not to play either side, and I sit there and I wash it, wax it every weekend, take very careful attention to it, I formed an idol, I may be worshiping that. If I've seen it in my driveway and singing to my car, we have a problem, right? So worship is not music. Worship is a vehicle to take us to a place of worship. Worship is not a performance. In a performance saturated society, if we are not careful, we will see worship as a performance to be graded rather than something we give to God. We may see ourselves as an audience and the people on the platform as performers. None of us should be spectators in worship. Right. All of us should be participants in the worship of God. Mm-hmm. Worship is not a feeling. Some people think that unless they get a tear in their eye, a shiver down their spine, or work themselves up into some sort of emotional, that they have not truly experienced worship. While worship can be emotional, being emotional does not guarantee genuine worship. Warren Wiersbe, who was a pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago, wrote that worship is the believer's response of all that they are, mind, emotions, will, and body, to what God is and says and does. Let me say that again. Worship is the believer's response of all that they are, mind, emotions, will, and body, to what God is and says and does. Amen. I like that definition for its simplicity and clarity. Right, good, and pleasing worship depends on a right mental grasp of the way God truly is. True worship is based on a right understanding of God's nature and is a right valuing of God's worth. Do you sometimes wonder if our worship should be better than it is? How can I worship God in a way that makes sense and makes a difference in my life? Worship is not a concert where I just listen to a singer and enjoy a performance. Worship is not just a way for us to sing and make music, although it can include that. Worship is a matter of the heart. Worship is when we personally express our devotion to God because of who He is and what He has done for in our lives. When it comes to worship, what matters the most is the heart. There's a song that came out early in the 1990s called The Heart of Worship. Some of you may have heard the song before. It was written by Matt Redman, whose home church was struggling. They were going through a dry period, and they were just missing some dynamics in their spiritual lives. There was a bit of a revival, we would say a renaissance of praise and worship, but they just couldn't find their place in it all. The pastor was a man named Mike Povacci, and he did a very brave thing in the midst of this wilderness period. He got rid of the sound system, and then he got rid of the band for a season. This is what Matt Redman said. We gathered together with just our voices. His point was that we lost our way in worship, and that the way to get it back to the heart would be to strip everything away. The pastor reminded the people to be producers of worship, not just consumers of worship. Let me say that again. We need to be producers of worship, right, not just consumers of worship.
Amen.
He asked them this question. When you come through the doors on a Sunday, what are you bringing as an offering to God? They were coming to take, to receive, rather than to give. Matt says that question initially led to some embarrassing silences on Sunday mornings. No music. But eventually, people broke out into a cappella songs and heartfelt prayers, encountering God in a fresh way. Before long, they reintroduced the musicians. They weren't against them or the sound system. But when they stripped it all away, they gained a new perspective that worship is about the heart, and it's all about Jesus. Worship is not for our benefit. Worship is not intended just for what you can get out of it or how good it can make you feel. The intent of worship is for God to receive pleasure from our passion and commitment to Him. So let's take a moment and worship God with a song. As I said this morning already, worship is more than a song. However, the lyrics of this song remind us that a song is just the beginning of worship. So I invite you, if you want to come up front again, if you want to stay up front this morning. You know, we're not going to do things normal this morning, amen? So, you know, as we sing this one, you know, additional song here, let's enter into worship and give God our hearts this morning.
Boy, take to heart what Jason was saying. It's true. You know, worship is not, I don't worship for me. I worship God because of what He's done and what He's doing, not just in my life, but everywhere. And sometimes you just have to shut everybody and everything else away. And I see why the lack of the band and the worshipers, you know, the praisers, the praise team would be good, because it would cause focus to be just me and God, which is how it has to be. That's true worship, you know. So as you're worshiping this morning, I would encourage you, just try to shut everybody else out. Us up here, everybody around you, even if you don't sing, just focus on Him, praising Him, thanking Him, yes, for all He is and all He's done.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe. something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper.
God is after your heart this morning. This morning we are singing songs as part of our worship. Just to set a tone for us this morning, as you know, as I mentioned before, the vehicle. Worship songs are the vehicle that brings us closer to being able to worship. So stay on that vehicle, stay in the car this morning. As we continue this morning, I want us to really grasp why Jesus is really worthy of our praise and our worship. When Jesus was born, shepherds were out in the field and the host appeared with the angels praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. At his birth, shepherds rejoiced, while King Herod sought to destroy him. And in Luke 19 through 20, at the end of Jesus' life, he is praised by his disciples, the common people, while the leaders are plotting to take his life. Luke 19:39, the religious leaders said to Jesus when they saw people praising him as he rode in on a colt, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered them, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. There is no one else in heaven or on earth more worthy of our worship. The King of Kings, who has come to provide salvation, requires praise. If not from the people he has come to save, then even from creation itself. Now the question the Pharisees were asking is this man worthy of our worship? And their clear answer is, no way. The leaders have clearly missed all the signs that have been pointing to him. We have to turn the question to ourselves. Do we worship Jesus as him who is most worthy of our highest praise? Or have we, too, missed all the signs that point to him? Jesus will be praised one way or another. We will praise him, or we will leave that job to someone else. Do we see him as our King, worthy of our ultimate praises, as the supreme object of our worship? It's not enough just to be intrigued or interested in Jesus. We can't stop at agreeing intellectually to some facts about who he is. True belief will show itself in acknowledging that he is worthy of our praise and bowing our knees before him. We often have a too narrow of a definition of worship. That worship is merely what we do on Sunday mornings when we sing. As I mentioned before, singing can be worship, but it still depends on what we are setting our mind and heart on as we sing. For singing to be worship, we must be directing our praise toward Jesus and God for who he is and what he has done. Let's look at Hebrews 1:1-4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he anointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and that exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. So let me give you a summary of that passage. Jesus owns it all. Jesus made it all. Amen. Jesus reflects the complete radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the exact representation of God's being. Jesus continues to sustain all things. Jesus paid the price for our sins. Jesus rules it all, so Jesus is worthy of our worship. In the book of Revelation, we're given a glimpse into what worship occurred around God's throne in heaven. Let's look at Revelation 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the 4 living creatures and the elders. The lamb had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which were the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood, You purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. In John Stott's The Cross of Christ, he talks about the centrality of Jesus, the Lamb, in the book of Revelation's account of worship in heaven. He writes, "One cannot fail to notice or to be impressed by the seer's repeated and uninhibited coupling of God and the Lamb. The person he places on in equality with God is a Savior who died for sinners. He depicts him as mediating God's salvation, sharing God's throne, receiving God's worship, and diffusing God's light and his worthiness, which qualifies him for those unique privileges, is due to the fact that he was slain. And by his death, we have received our salvation." That last line is key. His worthiness is due to the fact that he was slain. And by his death, he bought our salvation. Jesus is worthy of our praise and worship because he died for our sins and saved us from them. Amen?
Amen.
So let's sing about how worthy Jesus is of our praise and worship.
Thank you.
Father truly love us, He does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. And if Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those He loves, He does. Does our
blessing and honor and glory.
Lord, thank you for your worthiness. Lord, thank you that we are able to worship you and that you are worthy of our worship. Thank you for taking the sins from each and every one of us and dying on that cross. There's one more area I want to cover this morning. So as we continue, let's look at Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Worship is surrender. Worship is more than the songs we sing in church. It's a life offered to God as a living sacrifice. It is total surrender to God. The totality of the surrender is seen in the language of sacrifice. This is the language of worship from the Old Testament. In coming to God, the worshiper brought a sheep or a bull or a pigeon and sacrificed it on the altar as an offering to God. There were different kinds of sacrifices, but at the heart of it was that sin demanded punishment, and that the slain animal represented God's willingness to accept a substitute so that the worshiper might live and have an ongoing relationship of forgiveness and joy with God. But we live in the New Testament, and in Hebrews it tells us in Hebrews 10:4, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And in Hebrews 10:12, but our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. So Christ brought an end to the Old Testament sacrifice for sin. He finished the great work of atonement. His death cannot be improved on or added to. All we have to do now is to trust in him for the great redeeming grace he promises to give to us. Going back to that Romans passage, the act of consecration we give is not our dead bodies, but rather it is a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice may sound like an oxymoron. A living sacrifice is more difficult to give than a dead sacrifice. A living sacrifice means something to us. It has intrinsic value. Dead sacrifices really don't have much value. They don't mean as much to us. Living sacrifices cost us something. Dead sacrifices really don't cost us anything. However, there can be some issues with living sacrifices. They can crawl off the altar. We have to offer ourselves to God over and over because we surrender all, and then sometimes we take it back. We put our lives on the altar, then we crawl off and go do our own thing for a while. Surrender is an intense warfare against our self-centered nature. This is nothing new. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I affirm by the boasting in which you have in Christ, Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Even for Paul, it was a daily struggle. There is a moment of surrender, and then there is the practice of surrender, which is moment by moment and lifelong. Ever done that? Ever put yourself on the altar and then crawled off later? I wonder this morning where you are right now. If you did an honest inventory, could you say that your life is on the altar? That you are truly and fully surrendered to God? Or have you crawled off somewhere and your life is not totally surrendered? Offering yourself to God is what worship is really all about. The act of personal surrender is called many things. Consecration, making Jesus our Lord, taking up our cross, dying to self, yielding to the Spirit. What matters the most is that you actually do it, not what you call it. God wants our life, all of it. 95% is not good enough. As Christians, we have to accept that our lives are no longer our own, since we have been purchased with such a high price. God promises that he will accept the sacrifice of our lives as holy and pleasing, no matter how much we may have sinned. Christians today are not allowed to substitute an animal's life, which is a one-time offering, for their own, but are instead required to sacrifice our own lives. The requirement, however, is no longer ritual slaughter, but instead the presentation of the living person to God, a living sacrifice, a life dedicated to the service of God, a life committed to doing God's will, a life lived in faith and lived out in faithfulness to Him. We are to present our bodies for God's purposes on Sunday in worship and also on Monday in the workplace. Would you say that your lives reflect the Lord that we serve? In what ways have you surrendered your life to God? In what areas have you not? As we close this morning, I want to sing one last song. But before we do that, I want to give us an opportunity. You know, we sung about the sacrifice that God has made, that Jesus died on the cross. And so before we sing that last song, I want to just take a moment and just ask us to reflect. You know, He's worthy of our worship because He died on that cross to save us all from our sin. Amen? So if that's you this morning, maybe you haven't fully surrendered. Maybe you haven't given your life to Christ. You haven't realized how worthy He is of our worship. Maybe you haven't accepted Him into your heart, so you don't know how to worship yet. So this morning, I want to give us an opportunity, if you haven't done that yet, that you're able to do that here this morning. So if that's something you want to do, I just ask you to pray this prayer with me. Just, they're simple words. It's not the words that we say. It's God is looking at our heart. We sang that this morning. God is looking at our heart. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you this morning, I ask that you repeat this after me. Dear God, I know I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son, and I believe that He died. I believe that He died for my sins and that you raised Him to life. I want to trust Him as my Savior and follow Him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If that's you this morning and you prayed that prayer, I just encourage you to come talk to me after the service. Just let me know that you've accepted Christ in your heart. That's opening the door to His salvation. There's a life ahead that has so much more to offer. Amen. But as I close this morning, I want to ask us all to do one thing. If you are willing to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, I've laid out some blank pieces of paper on both sides, and there's some pens up here. All I want you to do is sign your name on the bottom of the paper. So why do you just need to sign your name? I want you to picture it as a contract between you and God. So what do I need to sign a blank piece of paper and just sign my name if it's a contract? Because that's what it's like giving your life to God. It's signing a blank contract and letting God fill in the blanks. It's saying, not my will, but yours be done. If you have told me 10 years ago, I would have gone to Nicaragua multiple times on mission trips and even lead missions teams there, be on the board of Family Promise, or even be up here preaching this morning, I probably would have laughed at you and told you that you were crazy. Now, I'm not saying this morning that I'm my life is totally surrendered and I have everything all figured out. We all have areas that we are growing in, and God is working with each one of us in our own lives. But I will say, and I do know, that when we do surrender and let God's will take over our life and His will is accomplished, the result is nothing more than miraculous. So if you're willing this morning, I invite you to come up here as we sing this last song. In order to practice surrender, we have to have a moment of surrender. And that moment could be right now. Now is the time to surrender yourself as a living sacrifice to God. That is our true and proper worship. Amen.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. Find me here, Lord, as you draw.
Speak to me now.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Lord, thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, as we leave this place today, let not our worship end as we pass through the doors, but let our lives reflect a living sacrifice, surrender to you. Lord, be with us as we depart from here, Lord, that we can continue to worship you with all that we are and all that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.